live, United Public Radio Network, Discovery Paranormal, March 21st. Today is Tuesday. How are you guys doing out there in the world? Y'all want to know what we're going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about the Black Knight satellite. You know why? Because I've been seeing a lot about it. First of all, it kind of came about in a weird way with me, right? I was talking about these sounds, electronic sounds, coming from 7 miles down in the ocean, at the bottom of the sea, in these deep crevasses, you know, these abysses, right? So this team that monitors, that was actually looking for whales and dolphins and all that, and they have this equipment down there about 1,000 meters down, the thing's cruising around, and it picks up these radio signals. And then they have several around the world. If you go to YouTube and you look up, you know, underwater radio signals from these things, you'll find a whole bunch of stuff. So there's several. I mean, there's several around the world, literally. But in this one case, it was over 7 miles deep in the ocean. We don't even have anything that can get down there because it would get crushed. You know, I mean, we can go down a few miles with some really special equipment. And we have, you know, we can send ROVs, these automatic little robot things down there, but not down 7 miles. So here comes these electronic signals, you know, and then they tried to play it off like it was a whale. Like, yeah, it's a whale. Don't worry about it. It's a horny male whale 7 miles down in the ocean, and they don't go down there. You get it? Whatever's down there stays down there. You know, it's like Vegas. And then if it leaves there, it dies. Because it can't take the change in pressure as it comes back up. So, I listened to it over and over and over again. It was fascinating because it actually sounded like a door opening and closing and a whole bunch of just, like signals, electronic signals. So then, I have a friend who was in the Air Force, actually a distant cousin, who was in the Air Force for special investigations and all that. And he had told me about these satellites that were discovered up, circling the Earth in polar orbits. And they were discovered a long, long time ago by Nikola Tesla in 1899. Received signals after he built this tower for heavy electric that he was going to give free electric to people, send it through the air. But he started receiving these signals. But I'll get into that in a minute, but he said that, they named them the Dark Knight. Nobody ever even knew where the name came from. Maybe some British origin because they had a satellite rocket system. They would put rockets up called the Black Knight way later on, though, you know? So, and then, you know, he basically said that these satellites have communicated with the ocean, with something in the ocean. That's kind of when they will go active, when they're flying over those regions, which is really interesting, right? Just even to think about that. Okay, so obviously in 1899 there were no satellites circling the Earth because we didn't have the technology as human beings to send satellites up at that time. It took a long time after that. In fact, we didn't have the technology to put satellites in a polar orbit until 1960. So think about that. From the time of 1899, Nikola Tesla may be the smartest man that ever lived. And then here he is discovering something. Well, let me get into it. I'm going to read to you from a series of either articles, information from NASA, information from the Pentagon, information from the Navy. And I'm going to let you guys make your own decision because the military will say, or the Pentagon these days will say, oh, it's space junk. NASA will say, it's just space junk. Don't pay attention to it. It's nothing. But we all know not to trust them. And we all have enough doubt in our minds to say, okay, if I present you guys with all this evidence, you can make up your own mind. You don't need the Pentagon to tell you what to think, and you don't need NASA to tell you what to think. But the Pentagon is the place that outed these two satellites, initially calling them asteroids, and then saying that they're artificial. Okay? Artificial. So let me read this. As the shadow of the 20th century looms large, enigmatic scientist Nikola Tesla claimed to have received the most amazing message in human history. Tesla had just set up in Colorado Springs, where he built a large magnifying transmitter to further his investigation into the wireless distribution of electricity. Soon after he began to receive mysterious signals on the equipment that seemed to be coming from space. Three impulses, one after the other, at fixed intervals. 1, 2, 3. Tesla was entranced. After carefully dismissing all known natural phenomena, he believed that he may have received a signal from intelligent life on another world. So at that time, think about it, it's 1899. Nikola Tesla, amazing scientist, is already thinking that there are people elsewhere. And a lot of people felt this. If you look back to that era and even earlier, way, way back, you know, back to the point of the Egyptians, back to the point of all that early history, they all believed in people from space. And a lot of them have evidence, either stories they told of, you know, spacemen coming down. One of my favorite references is Pumapunku up in the Andes Mountains, right? I mean, these fire chariots came down with tall men with tools, and then they helped them build all these things, right? Okay. So Nikola Tesla thinking about aliens or just life in space, right? Some today suggest that Tesla had picked up signals from pulsars, which are spinning neutron stars that emit radio waves, although it remains unknown exactly what it was he observed. So is that plausible? Sure. You can say it's plausible if it happens that at those intervals, you know, definitely could be an explanation of what Nikola Tesla was receiving. Okay. At around the same time, Italian radio pioneer Guglielmo Marconi was experimenting with using radio to transmit Morse code signals. To his amazement, he found some of his Morse code messages returning back to him, sometimes even years later. These discoveries caused a major stir in the press at the time, with talks of aliens from Mars trying to contact Earth. However, the strange signals were soon relegated to a curious scientific footnote, not to be revived for nearly 30 years. In 1927, Orgin Howells, a civil engineer in Oslo, was using an early commercial radio receiver to listen to shortwave transmissions from a station in Eindhoven when he noticed something extremely odd. The signals had been reflected back by something. These echoes came at irregular intervals, sometimes 3 seconds, sometimes 15 seconds. Howells had discovered what would later be known as LDEs, which is long delayed echoes. The LDEs so intrigued scientists that from 1828 to 1930, a huge experiment was conducted into that phenomenon. The echoes were certainly real, but nobody had any idea what was causing them. Further experiments in France and in the UK in the 1930s left scientists equally baffled. To this day, there is no agreement on what's behind the LDEs, although few scientists believe that they have anything other than natural origin. But could Tesla's speculation back in 1899 be correct? Was there some intelligence behind the echoes? Were they even a message from aliens? In 1954, an amazing story appeared in technology magazine Aviation Week and Space Technology that suggested exactly that. The U.S. military had discovered 2 mysterious satellites in Earth's orbit. 2. The Pentagon was reportedly furious about the story. They had not wanted the discovery to be made public. An explanation was quickly put out that the satellites were actually asteroids. Whilst it is possible for the Earth's orbit to capture an asteroid, It's extremely rare and only happens under certain unusual circumstances. Many scoffed at the Pentagon's explanation, and the widespread belief at the time was that they were artificial. But think about it. Two on a polar orbit opposite of each other, which means if you had control of two satellites like that, you could monitor the entire Earth and what happens on the Earth, what's going on, whatever. So just to put that in there. Had the Russians managed to secretly get something into orbit 3 years before Sputnik, the first publicly acknowledged satellite, or were the objects from further afield in the universe? By late 1957, the Soviets had just launched their second satellite, Sputnik 2, carrying a passenger, a small dog named Laika. But it also had a more mysterious passenger because it had been tracked in space by an object, and neither the Russians or Americans had any idea what it was. In 1960, the U.S. Navy's Dark Defense Radar System made an even more spectacular discovery. They had detected a large black object in polar orbit around the Earth, possibly weighing as much as 15 tons. 15 tons. And they had no technology at that point to get 15 tons up in space, and no technology to put that on a polar orbit yet. So what was particularly odd about this was neither the U.S. or Soviets had the ability to put objects in space or whatever. Like the incidents in 1954, the press reported a discovery caused a major splash with the public, and like 1954, the Pentagon quickly stepped in to kill the story. It was just space debris from a Discoverer rocket launch, a suggestion that did not convince many. Whatever it is, so whatever it was in Earth's orbit, also had acquired a name, the name Black Knight Satellite. The origins of the name are unclear, but it may have been based on a satellite launching rocket the British had developed called the Black Knight. The object would continue to be seen, but it was very unpredictable. It would vanish for long periods before reappearing years later. What could it be? The most intriguing idea came from an eminent Stanford space scientist, Ronald Bracewell, and his theory for how an alien civilization might communicate with Earth. Bracewell proposed such a civilization may send a probe out into the universe looking for planets that could evolve intelligent life. They would lie dormant in orbit around the planet until the occupants were advanced enough to send radio signals into space, at which point it would send a signal back. Isn't that interesting? Because that's kind of what we're doing as the early stage humans that we are. We have sent, you know, probes out into space, into our solar system anyway, with our limited technology, because we really do have limited technology. So was the object found by Dark Sense a Bracewell probe? Fascinated by the possibility, Scottish science writer and amateur astronomer Duncan Lunan decided to go back and re-examine the data produced by the LDE experiment in 1928. What Lunan says he found was absolutely astonishing. The Scot had a hunch that the seemingly random delays observed in the echoes from 1928 might be significant. He mapped them out on a graph and was staggered to discover they formed the pattern of a constellation. It was Bootis, a constellation in the northern sky, home to many bright stars. One, a binary star system called Epsilon Bootis, was central to Lunan's theory. Amazingly, he claimed to have decoded a message from its inhabitants. And that's crazy, right? Think about it. Here's this dude. I mean, yeah, part of it, he's a writer or whatever. Part of it could be fantasy. But just like Morse code, just like Morse code has bleeps and blips and that type of thing, and it all means something. So, like, I have a friend who was a cryptologist during the war, during the Korean War, and of course his job was to break down code, and that code could be anything, but if you look at codes as a whole, you know, you'll see these patterns that they form, and then if you can put together the words or numbers or letters to those patterns, then you're in business, okay? Had the Black Knight satellite finally revealed its purpose? Was an alien civilization from deep space trying to communicate with Earth? In 1998, compelling visual evidence for the existence of the mysterious satellite finally emerged. The crew of the space shuttle Endeavour managed to take dozens of clear, high-resolution photographs of a strange black object near their craft. And you can find these all over the Internet. There are some that people kind of embellished, or that was their fantasy of what the thing looks like, or trying to reconstruct it, right? In this case, there are a pretty good, clear pictures. And the thing is gigantic. As in 1960, the object was dismissed as space debris, a thermal blanket that had come loose during the construction of the International Space Station. Yeah, all thermal blankets weigh 15 tons, right? But the photographs just fueled more speculation about what was in the skies. Well, can riddle me this. If it was space debris from the construction of the International Space Station, then what did the Navy find and the Pentagon find way back when, before there was a space station, before there was anything? What were they doing? What were they tracking? What were they talking to? Okay. But the photographs just fueled more speculation about what was in the skies. The older stories of Tesla, the LDEs, and Duncan Lunan's star map were revived because they're all starting to fit in. You can take information from all of that and start assembling a timeline of information that is evidence to something, evidence to something, right? So after more than a century of speculation, the big question still remains, are there ancient alien satellites in Earth's orbit? Okay, evidence for space UFOs. Following the radar sightings in 1950s and 60s, both the Soviets and the Americans would start to send men into space. If there was something alien up there, it surely wouldn't be long before one of them encountered it. In 1963, astronaut Gordon Cooper was orbiting the planet in his Mercury space capsule. He reported seeing an object near his craft that glowed with a greenish hue. Back on Earth, this UFO was seen by dozens of witnesses on the radar screens at NASA's Mutia tracking station in Australia, and the news was widely reported in the press. NASA's reaction was odd. They forbid reporters from asking Cooper about the UFO. Later, they would put out the story that a carbon monoxide leak in the capsule has caused Cooper to hallucinate the sighting. Got that? He hallucinated the sighting, and I guess all those dozens of people at NASA who also were witnesses and saw it were partaking in some of that gas and hallucinating also, right? So later, all right, now 2 years later, Major James McDivitt, passing over Hawaii in Gemini 4, saw a long white cylinder object, with protruding angular arms flying close to his capsule. So maybe he was hallucinating too. Maybe he dropped some acid, do you think? And he was hallucinating. In 1968, Condon Report, widely seen as a government attempt to debunk UFOs phenomena, was unable to find a rational explanation for McDivitt's sighting, describing it as especially puzzling. Some critics of McDivitt's UFO have suggested it was the discarded second stage of the Titan rocket, but after seeing a photograph of the second stage, McDivitt dismissed the possibility. I assure this is not a photograph of the object, which I described many times, he told UFO skeptic Philip Klass. And keep in mind, this object this guy saw, this cylindrical object, other people have seen. Pilots, astronauts, people on the ground. So, yeah. In 1969, the astronauts of the most famous space flight of all, Apollo 11, saw something strange out of the module's window. Early in their journey, Buzz Aldrin described a glowing object outside that appeared to be tracking Apollo's path. So not gas. It's not fart gas coming out of the spacecraft. It's something tracking you, following you. What are you doing? At the time, NASA kept the encounter secret, and the astronauts only make an oblique reference to it in their communications. There was something out there close enough to be observed, and what could it be? Aldrin said in 2005. Now, obviously, the three of us weren't going to blurt it out. Hey, Houston, we've got something moving alongside of us, and we don't know what it is. Do you know? Were the objects encountered by the NASA astronauts, Bracewell probes, or even the fabled Black Knight satellite? According to Gordon Cooper, one of America's pioneering early astronauts, encounters like these are common and well documented at NASA, but always kept a secret. So, riddle me this. Why would they keep it a secret? Why not just blurt it out in the news? You know, people are going to freak out. They're not going to know what it is. They're going to see it. They're going to guess. That little green men from space probing Uranus, you don't know what it is. There's something out there. You can guess what it is, right? It wouldn't send the public into panic like if a UFO landed on White House lawn and took Melania back into space where she belongs. Back to her planet. For many years I have lived with a secret, in a secrecy imposed on all specialists in astronautics. I can now reveal that every day in the USA our radar instruments capture objects of form and composition unknown to us, Cooper said in 1981. And there are thousands of witnesses reporting that a quantity of documents to prove this, but nobody wants to make them public. So on the show, we have we've talked about aliens from the Antarctic, right? We've talked about admirals writing about aliens in the Antarctic. We talked about the moon ringing like a bell for over half an hour when they launched their spacecraft in. We talked about the saucers that attacked, a fleet and left them in shambles in the Antarctic. That was in diaries and then reported later on. So we've also talked about different civilizations and what they've encountered, from Egyptian to Peru, all around the world, that aliens come and go. Even the Hopi Indians talked about the Ed people that came from under the ground and helped them grow things or whatever, basically helped them survive. We talked about genes on the show. We talked about things like rhesus negative blood and how it came into the human supply 35,000 years ago, not from the earth. So let's start thinking about all this information. Obviously, we're not the only game in town, and we don't know dink about our own planet or what's in it or what's on it or what's above it. We have no clue. We're very limited. We've only explored maybe 2 or 3% of the entire ocean. We don't have a technology. We're very limited. So now here's a scientist that decoded this message that was supposedly coming down from the Black Knight. And he worked on this for years and years and years, And finally put together this message. And I'll read the message to you and you tell me. This is the message from the satellite, he's saying. All right? Message as follows. start here. Our home is Epsilon Bootis, which is a double star. We live on the sixth planet of seven. Check that. Six of seven. Counting outwards from the sun, which is the larger of the two, our sixth planet has one moon, our fourth planet has three, our first and third planets each have one moon. Our probe is in the orbit of your moon. This updates the position of Arcturus shown on our maps. That's the message that this dude printed out. This is the amazing message that science writer and amateur astronomer Duncan Lunan claims to have decoded from the long-delay echo data gathered in 1928. So just like if you had Morse code, and if you were listening to it for years, and then if you were trying to establish some what the hell it was saying, you could do it, and you could decode it, right? So the message, according to Lunan, originated from a stable point between the orbits of the Earth and the Moon called the L5. Along with this, Lunan found the varying delays shown in the echoes when mapped on a graph formed a map from the Epsilon Bootis star system. Lunan made his discovery in 1972, but the star system he saw was not how it looked in the skies then. Check this out. Lunan was puzzled because he had a hunch if this really was an alien probe, it must have taken many years to reach the Earth, perhaps thousands of years. Could the map be how the constellation looked sometime in the past, a time that would reveal when the probe was launched? So imagine that. Imagine pictures of the Earth, the United States, and all these other places, you know, from a million years ago. Of course it's not going to look the same as it looks now, because things change, and things change in nature, right? So, basically, this satellite that's been up there, satellites, could have been there for thousands of years. The hunch proved to be correct. The map matched out Epsilon Bootis looked some 13,000 years ago. If Lunan was right, the implications were staggering. A satellite from a far distant alien civilization had been orbiting the planet since prehistory. How's that? How's that? Professor Bracewell, who coined the idea of alien satellites, was convinced that Lunan had proved his theory. Lunan's findings were also validated by the prestigious British Interplanetary Society, the oldest space advocacy body in the world. But a few years later, Lunan withdrew his findings, not because the message wasn't there, but because he no longer believed Epsilon Bootis could sustain intelligent life. This seems a somewhat odd position. The information he found in the LVE data was either there or it wasn't, and it seems staggeringly unlikely the message could have occurred by chance. Because if you get a message from something and it wasn't intended, it's just going to be bleep, blah, 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 blah. It means nothing. It's going to be nothing. It'll convert into nothing. Lunan hasn't given up on Epsilon Bootis altogether, however. His latest research suggests the star's system location is also coded into ancient monuments on Earth like Stonehenge and the pyramids. How cool is that? Even if the probe wasn't from Epsilon Bootis itself, was someone somewhere trying to point mankind's attention to this mysterious star system 103 million light years away. So obviously, if it's 103 million light years away, you're not going to just get into an airplane and go there. You know, imagine, so let's think outside the box. Let's think that you have a ship that could fold space, and then some kind of gate, a star gate, something like that, some kind of wormhole, whatever the hell you want to call it, a way of going from one point to the other, like in quantum physics, where particles can move many miles from one point to the other instantaneously. Imagine a system like that. If you can harness that energy, right, and make a ship, and then go from that one place to the other, just like that, instantaneously. Boom, you're there. You put your probes out, you're back. Just like that. You think about that. Obviously, we're not going to get into an Apollo spacecraft and go 100 million light years away, 103 million light years away. Obviously, that ain't going to happen. So for them to have a technology, and they're not going to send a probe 103 million light years away, and a probe that's got to travel through space 103 million, two probes, 103 million light years, at light speed, 103 million years. Wow. And not fly into another planet, not fly into an asteroid, not get hit by a rock, nothing. You going to do that? Impossible. That's impossible. Obviously, there's a way of going back and forth that we as humans don't know. We're using cars, airplanes, you know, buses. Really? Okay, the Dark Knight. It is often suggested that the sightings of the strange objects in the Earth's orbit are space debris. This explanation is routinely used whenever the news of such discoveries reach the press. Back in 1960, and keep in mind, it took NASA 40 years to release the fact that the moon rang like a bell for over half an hour. 40 years. They thought they should keep it secret. And yeah, that's really interesting. The moon rang like a bell for over half an hour. Bizarre. Beyond explanation, right? Back in 1960, when the U.S. Navy radar system Dark Fence spotted a huge object in polar orbit, it was quickly dismissed as space debris from the Discoverer program. However, the object Dark Fence observed seemed to be too large and heavy to be space debris. It was estimated to be as much as 15 tons, like we mentioned earlier, far in excess of what anybody could get into space. The Russians had the most powerful rockets at the time, but the heaviest payload they could manage was just over 2,000 pounds. One ton. Not 15, one. Right? The UFO was incredibly erratic. Its orbit was hard to predict, and studying it proved difficult. But the Grumman Aircraft Corporation in New York managed to get a photograph of it, and it was apparently orange. Nothing on the Discoverer program, which was actually a cover for then a secret Corona spy satellite, was orange. Clearly, whatever Dark Fence had spotted was not space debris. The most detailed ever pictures of the UFO in space, the Dark Knight we're talking about, the Black Knight. The most detailed pictures ever of a UFO in space were taken by the Space Shuttle Endeavour in 1998. These are the images most cited as proof of this Dark Knight or Black Knight's existence. Right? NASA, however, dismissed the object as a thermal insulation blanket accidentally dropped by an astronaut whilst constructing the International Space Station. Aw, he dropped his blanket. A 15-ton blanket. What was he, Hulk Hogan? The Incredible Hulk? A 15-ton blanket? Again, like the 1960 explanation, this doesn't quite fit the facts, although in most of the photos, it's hard to determine the scale of the object. One image does show it at some distance below the space shuttle. Even without taking perspective into account, the object appears to be as long as the shuttle's cargo bay door, which was 60 feet long. This would make it at least 10 times larger than the insulation blanket used on the International Space Station. Okay. Now, this Black Knight satellite, though some call it Dark Knight, some call it Black Knight, this is what I've learned from my sources that is not in these articles. We've tried to approach the satellite before with other space equipment, other satellites, that we would retask a satellite. When you retask a satellite, satellite's on task, it's in its orbit. You can retask a satellite. The NSA does that all the time with the satellites they use to monitor people and whatever, right? So let's say, like, we were following Osama bin Laden, and they were out in the desert, you know, training other terrorists. Bill Clinton was in there. They would frequently retask the satellite because these terrorists knew what time of day these satellites flew over, and they would go inside so they wouldn't get photographed. So they would frequently retask satellites, okay? So we and the Russians have tried to retask satellites and approach this Black Knight satellite, and the satellite died. Nothing can get near it. Nothing can get too close to it without all the electronics cutting out. And then on the space shuttle, they also, when they got close to it, it's not in this report, but they reported that their electronics started fudging out, and they went into a panic. That's the last thing that you want, is to be up in space, and then your little space shuttle cuts out. There ain't no AAA, you know what I mean? And then they managed to fly away from it when their electronics returned. So obviously it's got some kind of protection device. They have some kind of protection device around them to keep things away. So let's talk about the evidence against it. Let's think about this. Critics of the Black Knight satellite theory point out that much of the evidence cited in its favor is actually unconnected. Even though on the show just now, we've connected all kinds of evidence that we call evidence. Because there is something there, it's been reported there's something there, it's actually something huge, something big, it's been there for a long time, and it actually has messages coming out of it, right? Of the many Black Knight candidate objects purportedly observed over the years, no two appear alike. The size, color, shape, and appearance vary each time. Some have polar orbits, others are have other types of orbits, like equator, that type of thing. And Duncan Lunan's proposed alien satellite wasn't in Earth's orbit at all, but the moon's orbit. Some of the sightings also appear not to be genuine. Okay, keep in mind, like I just said, satellites can be retasked. And if it was that kind of intelligence level, it would retask itself to what it wanted to monitor. So pretty much moving around as freely as it wanted. You know, it was on those orbits when they were observed. So look at it like that. Okay. The reports from 1954 about two unknown satellites have been observed in orbit seem to be originated from articles written by UFO proponent Donald Kehoe. It has been suggested that Kehoe's speculations about alien satellites got conflated by the press with real Army space tracking experiments conducted by astronomer Clyde Trumbo. He created a completely fictitious story that the Army had found UFOs in orbit. Even though that's what they do, you know, the Pentagon and all that. I mean, obviously, if they don't want you to know something, and it's a secret, and it already comes out, they're going to lie to you and tell you that's bullcrap, because they want you to think it's bullcrap, right? So Gordon Cooper's reported sighting of a green UFO in 1963 seems solid enough, but even ardent UFO believer Cooper later denied that he had made such an observation, attributing it to over-imaginative reporters. There you go. As for Tesla, while accounts of Black Knight satellite often begin with the famous inventor, his presence in the story doesn't seem particularly warranted, other than the extra odd layer of mystery. The signals he observed, whether they were pulsars or not, were quite different to the LDEs and appear to have little or nothing in common with Bracewell probes and the Black Knight. So these are people who are trying to debunk this, but they didn't disprove it, did they? You know, they could say, well, this could be that, and that could be that. I could say that all day long. I could say weather balloon all day long every time someone sees a UFO. I could say whatever I want. You know, there's some kind of bird or just whatever it is. Yeah, you can come up with explanations for or against. But this, we're talking about evidence that came from people and not fantasy, right? Even the guy that decoded the message, that was evidence coming from him spending all that time, years, of decoding this message, and he felt firmly that that's what it meant, right? Even if it was close to that, these messages are forming words. They're not just leaves and blocks. They're forming words, okay? So, the curious phenomena of long-delay echoes are pivotal to many of the Black Knight satellite theories. The LDEs are reflections of radio signals that return to the observer at random intervals, usually between 3 and 15 seconds. If Black Knight was a Bracewell probe, as it often suggested, it would send some kind of a signal to alert us to its presence. Are those signals the mysterious LDEs? Or maybe those satellites are up there just monitoring us and what we're doing. Maybe the ones you put them in up there are living locally, you know? One of the many curious aspects of the LDEs is that they were far more common in the early days of radio communications, especially in the 20s and 30s, than they are today. Yeah, you want to know why? Because there's too much radio communication going on, and it's all fudged up. You know, it's just too much. It's an overload. If there was some intelligence behind these signals, could it be part of a more earthly origin? One suggestion is the signals were part of a top-secret military experiment to piggyback covert signals inside conventional radio stations. You know, why would they bother? And signals that came back years later? That's not even plausible to say. And then not even plausible to say, okay, it's some kind of, you know, magnetic, you know, I mean, I follow magnetic ley lines, and when I do paranormal investigations with my team, we follow these magnetic ley lines, and we found that on those ley lines, it holds a lot more energy, and then better communication, stuff like that. So the Earth is made of magnetic forces, yeah. And then you can record something and play it back years later. That happens all the time with everybody. We do it all the time with all of our devices, and, you know, recording devices and whatever. It's more about the signals. I don't think that the signals is that. I think that those satellites are communicating with something in the ocean, like I mentioned earlier, from all those signals, all those electronic sounds coming from under the ocean. I think it's as simple as that. All right, and monitoring the Earth at the same time. I mean, a polar orbit gives you a nice perspective, you know? A spy could set up his equipment close to a radio tower and rebroadcast its signals with varying delay times. This is a more of like a bullcrap excuse, you know? The delay is spelling out a message. See, and when we get to the word could, of course, a spy could do anything. People could do anything. You can hoax almost anything in the world now, especially now with computers and all that, CG. You can hoax tons of stuff. This is a bunch of people over years that experience different things. And then there are millions of people around the world that have seen UFOs in all kinds of forms. Yeah, some of that, a percentage of that is bullcrap, but for the most part, it's the real deal. and whatever their mission is, of whatever groups of aliens that are coming here, it can't be just be one type of people, or whatever they are. It would be a variety, wouldn't it? Anybody that had the technology could do that. Okay? So, there are always going to be people that believe, and there's always going to be people that don't believe. Right? The people that don't believe are very hard to convince. You know, it's like politics. You have Trump people that would refuse to believe anything negative at this point because they're so embattled with the other side. You have Democrats who refuse to like Trump no matter what. The guy could cure cancer, they would have something to say about it. When it comes to these satellites, to me it's another example and it's not about proving the satellites are there or proving they're not there, even though I've had private information from people in the armed services that said, yeah, these are the things that have happened. And then there's a video on YouTube saying that the military shot it down, a video showing that the satellite got shot down. Do you believe that? Do you think that's real? Do you think that somebody would have a video? Do you think that the Pentagon or NASA took a video of something like that, that they would release it on YouTube? You know, I watch videos on YouTube of spaceships coming out of the ocean, you know, and landing and aliens getting out. Yeah, people are very creative. They make all kinds of stuff. I'm talking about a timeline of what people have experienced over the years, phenomenon that we can't explain, from those sounds under the ocean to those signals coming from space, to messages of planets, Epsilon, Buddhists. I like to know more because it's intriguing. Do I think there's life out there? Of course I do. Do I think that we're the only life in the universe? That would be so ignorant. I can't believe it that you would want a society even to think like that. Because look at all the species of life on the planet Earth. Look at what we get, you know? Look at people and how different we all are. Even the human race is all one together. But look at people. And you think that life can't develop in other places? Smarter, better, more powerful, and have tech, and then some civilizations maybe being millions of years old with amazing technology? Of course. So our life is like a movie playing out. We live in a real narrow zone, as a matter of fact. And we're very frail as people. But as spiritual creatures, we're not. We're very powerful. Our spirits are amazingly powerful. So in this world, of course we're being visited, but we want to know why, and we'd like to communicate. Maybe we don't want to know why. Ronald Reagan said that. You know, what should I do, tell me that there's aliens, and yeah, it's a threat? There are people that have said all kinds of things over the years. Presidential leaders, other world leaders. They don't want people to panic, because your average human being can accept that information, but the groups of people panic. People panic over, there's going to be a snowstorm. Oh my God, I got to run to the store and clear the shelves out because there's going to be a snowstorm. So imagine, oh yeah, there's aliens. And everything that you know is bullcrap. We're going to tell you now what the universe really is and what the meaning of life is and all these other things. Do you think that could help the human race? Do you think that could hurt the human race? We still have humans running around in loincloths hunting with spears. So look at like that. We're very primitive beings with very primitive needs right now and dangerous to each other and to the rest of the universe. So imagine if your average human had amazing technology that could control everything. They would use it. And then most likely that person would use it for ill-gotten means, for stuff that you don't want to be part of. So there's a reason there's these barriers in place. And we're just starting to think as people and accept the things as people. We have a long way to go in the world of democracy. So I'll leave you with that. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal. I want you guys to think about all the things that I said, you know, and all these articles that I had to read from tonight, and I hate doing that. I read them cold because I want my reactions to be fresh. But, you know, think about all the stuff in the universe and then, you know, how we're supposed to be able to respond to each other and then basically love a little bit there. I'll leave you with that. This is United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Pass Christiane, saying goodbye, y'all.
Couldn't find Tile Talk to clear us out.